presenting Peter Braff and Archie Andrews with Ken Platt, Dick Emery, Hilda Braid, Derek Giler, Peter Hawkins, Ronald Chesney, and the BBC Review Orchestra conducted by Harry Rabinowitz in Educating Archie.
Now, Mr. Braff takes a very active part in the local affairs of the community in which he lives. He is chairman of the Ratoing Society, president of the Income Tax Dodgers Club, and on Thursday nights he's the acting cub mistress. Tonight, however, Mr. Braff is about to take the chair at the Residence Protection Society meeting, which is taking place in the community hall.
Now, my friends, no doubt some of you are wondering why we are here tonight.
I know why I'm here. Anything's better than sitting at home looking at my old woman.
Oh, really, Vicar?
Thank you, Archie, thank you. Now, my friends, we're here tonight to give a big welcome to a visitor from Whitehall.
Whitehall? Oh, that's ripping. I've always fancied one of those jolly soldiers sitting on his horse in a sentry box.
No. You misunderstood me, Miss Birkinshaw. Our visitor is a government official from the Ministry of Building Projects. I want you to give a big hand to the Right Honourable Sir Bilberry Tart, Bart.
Thank you. As I entered our village, I was struck by two things.
If you come past my house, you'd have been struck by several things.
Now, as I was saying, we at the Ministry pride ourselves on being quick off the mark with any new idea.
Come on, let's hear what the Right Honourable has got to say.
Honourable?
Honourable. All right, Honourable Horrible.
Grimble, how dare you insult this gentleman? Have you forgotten your manners?
Yes, I have.
And have you forgotten your position?
Yes, I have.
And have you forgotten that as you're not a householder, you've no right to speak at this meeting? Grimble, have you forgotten what you usually say?
Yes, I have.
All right, then. Now, sit down and stop interfering.
Oh, you're always on at me.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I am not.
You
Grimble.
Are.
Oh, don't grumble, Grimble.
Oh, I hate you.
Well, gentlemen, before I was so rudely interrupted, I was about to say that the subject of this village is on the agenda of the Ministry. The outcome is this. We are going to provide this district with a fast motor traffic bypass.
Oh, an excellent idea, excellent idea. We're fed up with all those cars dashing past here. How far away from our houses will you build the bypass?
How far away? My dear chap, we're going to pull all the houses down and run our road right through where they were.
Hey, pull the houses down? Well, what about my cottage? 40 years I've lived in there. It's almost like home. I was even thinking of putting some curtains up.
Well, you needn't bother, my friend. According to the map, there will be a tarred road right through your living room.
Good. That'll save me putting some lino down.
Well, just a moment, Sir Bilberry. Who ever heard of building a bypass through a village? They usually go round them, through the countryside.
Ha-ha-ha, that's the idea, yes. We knock all the houses down, put a road through, and that leaves the countryside free for putting up more houses. Oh, I've got my head screwed on all right.
Yeah, you stand a good chance of having it screwed on a stick, like me.
Now, quiet, everybody, please. Quiet. I'm warning you, Sir Bilberry, these people won't take this sort of thing lying down. You're not going to ruin our village. What we need now is a man among us to take the initiative. A man of courage and enterprise. A crusader. A live wire.
Hello. I won't take my coat off. I've still got my pyjamas on underneath.
Oh, Mr. Platt, you've arrived just in time. Here, do you know they're going to pull all our houses down?
Yes, I know. I was just lying in bed. The bedroom door opened and in came a workman from the Ministry, and it frightened the life out of me.
You scare easily, don't you?
I don't know. He was driving a bulldozer.
What? You mean they've started pulling our village down already? Oh, this is scandalous.
Scandalous? It's wicked. Someone at the government will have to pay for this. Chuck them out! Here, what about my little bungalow in the corner? Have they started putting that down yet?
No, when I came by, they were driving it off on the back of a lorry.
The back of a lorry? Here. Was there an ugly sort of woman leaning out of one of the windows yelling her head off?
Yes, as a matter of fact, there was.
Oh. The government knows what it's doing! Put them in again!
Sir Bilberry Tart, you can go back to your ministry and tell them that we will not stand for this invasion into the privacy and freedom of the individual.
But my dear Bruff, we were assured that we would have the willing cooperation of the good people of this village of Bedworthy.
Bedworthy? This isn't Bedworthy. That's about 10 miles away.
Is it? Oh, good gracious, they're pulling down the wrong place. I must go and sort this out at the ministry. Bye-bye.
That's a nice thing. Pulling down the wrong place, eh? Well, they'll have to pay some compensation over this little affair.
Yeah, they certainly will. They said the main road was going to run right through my digs. They even started painting a white line right on the middle of my eiderdown.
But, Mr. Platt, didn't your landlady complain?
No, she couldn't. She'd been pinched for taking a bath on the wrong side of the road on an even date.
Yes. They might have made a mistake this time, but one day they will build a road through here.
Oh, you're right. But what can we do about it?
Do? We'll move further away. Out into the country, that's what we'll do.
Well, come on, let's do it soon, Bruff. While we've been talking, Ronald Chisney's crept in with his harmonica.
As a result of what took place at the meeting, Mr. Bruff decided to move away from the sprawling mass of suburbia into the heart of the country. After many days of scanning the advertisements, he is on his way with Mr. Platt and Archie to inspect a desirable property known as Folly Farm.
Well, let's hope this farm's what we want, Archie.
Yeah, I hope so too, Bruff. I'm looking forward to living in the country.
Yes, I was sick of being in town with nothing to look at but ugly, grime-stained monstrosities.
Well, there's no need to be so personal.
Oh, all right, Phantomen, I wasn't talking about you.
Oh, it's going to be wonderful having you with us on the farm. You can do all the odd jobs.
That's right. Phant, have you ever come in close contact with livestock?
Well, I once had some scruffy digs in Bootle.
Hey, look out, Ralph, there's the farm. Pull up a minute, pull up.
All right, Archie. Ah, come on, let's get out. Have a look at it, shall we? That's the idea. Oh, look, there's the owner waiting to meet us. Let's have a word with him, shall we?
Hello. Hello. A moo-moo here, a moo-moo there, a few more hellos and...
Why, Mr. Monty?
Well, if it isn't Mr. Bruges and young Nipper and Rover the sheepdog.
It's not a sheepdog, it's Mr. Platt.
Sorry. Where did you get your hair cut? Now, what can I do for you lot, then?
Well, we're interested in buying this farm. Now, just exactly what does it comprise?
Well, you read the advert, didn't you? I've got a copy of it here. Look. Desirable residents, Ev Modcon. Usual offs. Four buds. Sit-in room, three recs, tiled kit. All completely umph. And in the garden, brick a billet gurge for car. That's plain enough, isn't it?
Yes, it's as clear as the niz on your fizz.
Well, the house looks all right, but what about the plumbing?
Couldn't be better. I guarantee you'll never have a frozen pack. Now, when you want water, you simply turn a handle, wait a couple of seconds, and turn it back the other way, and you've got 2 gallons of crystal clear water.
Oh, that sounds marvellous. What do they call this thing?
A well.
Well, I suppose we must rough it a bit. Now, is there any chance of having trouble with the drains?
Impossible. There aren't any.
Hey, no drains. Well, where does all the washing up water run to?
Back into the well. Mr. Boots, you couldn't have picked a more ideal spot for a farm.
Yeah, he's right, you know. I've been swatting up. This district is renowned for its soft soil and heavier rainfall.
Good. What's the main product?
Mud.
Now, you just have a look around the place. As you can observe, the farm stretches right as far as the eye can see.
Hmm. All I can see is a dirty great brick wall 20 yards away.
Yes, compact little place, isn't it? you can't go wrong with this place. Get away from the cold town and live in the friendly warmth of the great outdoors.
Well, wouldn't we be warmer if we had the great indoors?
Oh, we've got a right one here. Now, do me a favour, plate mate. Put on a red shirt and feed the bull.
Look at this place. Come on, let's buy it, shall we?
Well said, Nipper. Well said. It's going for a song.
Good. Well, here's a copy of trees.
We don't want any of your relations here, Nipper.
Oh, now, Mr. Monty, really?
Sorry, son. No offense. Now, this place is going for 2,000 quid, complete with tractor and combine harvester.
Well, what about the plough?
It opens in 10 minutes. Let's go down there and complete the deal, eh?
Mr. Brough, spurred on by his love for the country life, decided to buy the farm. They've been in for 2 days now, and Archie and Mr. Brough are thoroughly enjoying it.
Oh, come on, Archie. Wake up, old chap. It's nearly 8 o'clock. Come on, open the curtains and let me gaze at that stark, bare tree outside my window.
All right. Yeah, I say, Brough, is a stark, bare tree made of steel with rivets and a notice saying danger 50,000 volts?
What are you talking about, Archie? Of course not. Here, let me see. Archie... That's not a tree. That's an electricity pylon. They must have put it up overnight. What a confounded nerve.
You're right, Bruff. It is an electricity pylon.
You know that must have knocked hundreds off the value of this farm.
Hello, that's my cue. Want to sell?
What sort of a game is this, Mr. Monty? How can I run a farm with those electric wires all over it?
Mr. Monty, yes? Old Bruff has spent £2,000 on this farm, and he sent Mr. Platt out to buy more animals. Mr. Monty, you're a swindler.
Did I hear someone calling me by my maiden name?
Look here, Monty, I want my money back.
All right. You can have it back. I've got my wallet here, and I'll pay you back here and now.
Good. £2,000. That's what I paid for it.
Oh, yes. But when you bought it, there wasn't a dirty great big pylon on it. This farm has depreciated. What do you want for it? £1,000?
£1,000?
Done. Here you are.
Oh, no. I wouldn't accept £1,000 for this property over my dead body.
Okay. Get rigid, and I'll lay it on your chest. Here you are. Here's the money.
You better take it, Bruff. You know, the farm's not much use now.
Oh, yeah, I suppose so. All right, Monty, you've pulled another fast one on us, but we'll get even with you for this. Come on, Archie, old boy. Let's get out of here.
Oh, well. So much for life in the country. But where are we going to live now?
Don't worry, Archie. We'll go to a hotel for a few days, and then we'll look around for another farm.
Here, just a minute. There's a man driving some animals along. Why, if it isn't Mr. Platt.
Mush. Get along, little doggy. Mush.
Now, quiet, Daisy. Keep quiet, Mirabel. You're a fool to yourself. Well, I bought some animals for the farm, Mr. Brough. I've got 2 cows, 2 pigs, 2 sheep, and a job lot of mixed poultry.
Well, you can take them all back again. We've sold the farm.
What?
We've no farm, nowhere to live, and all these animals to look after as well.
Hello, Archibald.
Oh, well,
hello, Archie. Don't go away yet.
Felicity, Mr. Monty's daughter. Hey, what are you doing here?
I'm inspecting my daddy's farm.
Yes, and your father just swindled us.
Yeah, we may have to move back into town.
Oh, what a pity. Out here in the country, you can have such lovely food. Today we had shepherd's pie.
Yeah, but you can get shepherd's pie in town.
Yes, but not made from real shepherds. It's dangerous living in the country, though. This afternoon I went for a walk and I fell down a great big rabbit hole.
Oh, how did you get out?
My daddy sent a ferret down after me.
Don't talk to me about your father. He's an old chiseler. He sold me this farm, and 2 days later, the electricity board put up that pylon.
That pylon wasn't put up by the electricity board. It was put up by my daddy.
What?
It's a portable plastic pylon. His workmen put it up, and then my daddy buys back the property very cheap.
Well, the old rogue, is that true?
Cross my heart. Tonight, that pylon will be taken away from your place, and tomorrow it'll be put up on Sunnybrook Farm along the road.
Oh, so that's the game, eh? Well, it's nice of you to explain.
Well, I only told you because I like Archie. I think he's lovely.
Oh.
Kiss me.
Oh, all right. I'll shut my eyes first. Here I come.
Hey, Archie, you've just kissed the goat.
Yes, I know what I'm doing.
I'm still waiting for my kiss.
Oh, dear, yeah, well, all right, I'll kiss you in my dream.
Have you been dreaming about me, Archie?
Oh, yeah.
I've been dreaming about you, too.
Have you?
Yes, it must have been something I ate.
Well, perhaps it was angel pudding.
Oh, no, it was calf's head and pig's trotters.
Tell me about your dream, Archie.
All right, Felicity. I dreamed that I was King of France, and at the Royal Palace dance, I waltzed all night with the Princess of Peru. I praised her beauty to the skies, and when I looked into her eyes, I realized the princess looked like you.
I dreamed that I was King of Spain, and through the jungles wet with rain, I conquered all the land in Timbuktu. Among the captive girls I took was one with a peculiar look. I looked again and saw she looked like you.
I dreamed I was Sultan of Bombay, inspecting my harem one Monday. 1,000 dancing maidens, fair each head, your eyes, your lips, your hair.
It's a jolly good job you didn't sleep till Sunday.
I dreamed that at my coronation, I shot every foreign nation, giving up my throne to marry you. 'Cause I'd be king of all the world the day you said that you're my girl. Let's hope my dream just won't come true.
I've been dreaming about you as well, Archie.
Oh, go on.
Yes, we were dancing together. Oh, it was blissikins. We were floating around the floor.
Well, Archie, you'll float. You'd have to swim for it.
The music was divine. I can hear it now. Listen.
Come on, Felicity. You dance.
And at a royal palace dance, I waltzed all night with the Prince of Timbuktu. He praised my beauty to the skies, and when I looked into his eyes, I realized the prince looked just like you.
I dreamed you were the Queen of Spain, a-sailing on the bounding main, when a lofty pirate ship hove into view. A handsome buccaneer so bold, and captured you and all your gold, but he dropped the lot when he took one look at you.
I dreamed I was Sultan of Bombay, inspecting my harem one Monday. 1,000 dancing maidens, fairies had blue eyes, red lips, fair hair. Gee, I wish I could have slept till Sunday.
I dreamed that at my coronation, I shocked every foreign nation, giving up my throne to marry you. I'd be king of all the world the day you said that you're my girl. Let's hope my dream just won't come true.
We hope his dream just won't come true.
Well, the shades of night were falling fast. A very strange procession made its way through the English countryside seeking shelter for the night. It consisted of a van containing Archie and Mr. Brough, followed by two cows, two pigs, two goats, two chickens, and Mr. Platt.
Here, Brough, pull up. There's a hotel over there.
Oh, this is the 10th one we've tried. I hope this one will put us up for the night.
Give over. I'm not taking my cows in that place. Look at the name of it. The Bull.
We can't be choosy at this time of night. Platt, let's stop and go and inquire. Come on.
Now go to sleep, you cows. I'll put you on tins next week instead of bottles. No, go to sleep. If you can't sleep, try counting the sheep.
Oh, come on, Mr. Platt. Let's go in and see the hotel manager. Oh, come on.
Hello there. What can I do for you, Wick?
Doesn't he speak funny?
Well, let's have you then. Come on, state your wants.
Well, now, we'd like some accommodation.
Oh, that's all. Well, do you want the ordinary or the deluxe? I mean, the ordinary's 25 shillings for room and bath.
Well, what's the deluxe?
Well, that's 35 shillings, but you get a bed as well. Now, wait a minute, let's have a look and see what's vacant in the book. Yes, here we are. I've got a room with breakfast, no bath. I've got a room with bath, no breakfast. Well, I've got a breakfast and bath. No room.
Now, look, have you got a room for us or not?
Oh, I'm going to smash it here, you know. It's marvellous. It's one side opens out onto a lawn.
Hmm. Oh, do you mean it's got no wall?
Mr. Platt, please. All right, my man, we'll take it. Archie, you keep him talking while I go out and get the animals in through the French windows. All right, my friends will sign in. I'll go out and get our luggage. I'll take it straight in through the French windows. It'll save a lot of bother, you know.
I won't be long.
Thanks very much. He's a nice friendly chap, that like, you know, isn't he? Well, aye. Oh, I'm not sad. Oh, dear.
Oh, do you work long hours here, then?
Oh, there's slave drivers there, you know.
Oh.
Oh, they keep me at it till the cows come home.
You won't have long to wait.
Hello. What's that, then?
That's Brad bringing in our suitcases. Real cowhide.
Made a bit of a noise.
Well, it's still on the cow.
Well, have a minute. I'll have a look through the window. Hello. What's your friend up to? I've just seen him snatch up a handful of grass and disappear into his room.
Well, he's a vegetarian.
Well, I don't care what his religion is. Oh, there he goes again. Here. There's something fishy going on in that room there. I'm going to get my ear to the keyhole.
Now, Daisy, be a good girl. And stop dazzling my ear. Come on, Daisy. That's it.
Here. I'm not having that. Oh, I'm not, you know. Here. Who's this Daisy in there with him, then? Hey.
Now, Daisy. Don't make a noise, old girl. You'll start Mirabel off. Quiet, girls. There, that's it.
Aye. The fine goings on here, all right. Right, Sunday newspaper caper. I'm going in there. Blow me cap up. What's this lot, then? Here. You can get those animals out as quick as you like, you know. I don't cater for livestock here.
Oh, now, but please, sir.
Oh, go on, get them out, I say, man.
But you can't throw us out. After all, we've only got two cows, two pigs, two goats, and two chickens.
Now, look here, Noah. Well, I say, I mean, else.
Oh, dear. Oh, if he throws us out, we've got nowhere to stay for the night.
Now, don't you worry, Archie. He can't throw us out. I know the law. I haven't been inside for nothing. Listen, hotel keeper, you've got to put us up because we're travellers.
We'll start shoveling.
All right. All right, I'll handle this. Now, look here, my man. I'd like to point out that under the Liability of Hotel Keepers Act, a genuine traveller cannot be turned out under any circumstances whatsoever. And furthermore, if you think... Well, I certainly told him a thing or two. That's the first time I've ever quoted the law like that.
Yes, and this is the first time I've ever slept with two other fellas standing up in a phone box.
Yeah, I know. I haven't had a wink of sleep.
Well, what kept you awake?
Some woman kept tapping on the window all night with fourpence.
Oh, I'm stiff all over. Ooh, sleeping on the air to care. And my stomach pressed on button B. No, if I hadn't got three bob back in sixpences, it would have been a waste of time.
What are you complaining about? It wasn't too bad once we turned the cows out.
Oh, I'm not complaining. I didn't mind being slung out of the hotel. I didn't mind sleeping in a phone box. But when Mr. Brough made me breathe all over the little window so that he could change into his pyjamas, well, that was too...
Oh, now stop this nonsense, Pat, and let's think of what we're going to do.
Yeah, those poor animals. We must get another farm as soon as possible.
We must get one cheap, Archie. After that deal with Mr. Monty, I haven't much money left.
Ooh, the crafty old swindler. He's putting that piling up all over the place.
Yeah. Here, I say, Pat, I got an idea.
What?
Well, Felicity told us that Mr. Monty's men were going to put the piling up at Sunnybrook Farm next.
Well...
But don't you see?
Well, what? Come on.
Well, all you have to do is to get over there before Mr. Monty and buy it cheap.
Well, that's a brilliant idea, Roger. Yeah, yes, the dawn's just breaking. Come on, let's go over there straight away and talk business to the farmer.
Well, Mr. Gruff, I'm not so sure I want to sell the farm after all. After all, last year, from one field alone, I got 50 tons of wheat.
Well, that's amazing.
It is, rather. Especially as I planted cabbages.
Well, the proposition's very simple, sir. My friends and I are looking for a farm.
What's it all about, then? Hey,
Well, your farm's up for sale. Now, it can't be worth a lot, with that electric pylon out at the back.
Oh, is that what it is?
Hmm.
I've been putting weed killer on it all the week.
Now, I'm looking for a quick deal. Now, will you take £1,000 for the farm?
Yes, I will. Here's the deeds. I keep them in my hip pocket with my yo-yo.
Oh. And here's your money. I've got the cash on me.
Oh, thank you, yes. Well, I'll go up and pack me tin trunks.
Oh, good old Bruff. That was a quick bit of business.
Oh, yes. It didn't take me long to cotton onto a new racket, my boy. Let's go outside and look around, shall we? Come on.
Hello again. Well, if it isn't Farmer Brute.
Ah, Mr. Monty. Oh, you're too late this time. You can take your piling away now. I got news for you. We bought this farm first.
Yes, and I've got news for you. That's a real right piling you've got there. Been here 20 years.
Ah, I don't believe it. That's just another of your little jokes. That's not a real pylon. Just another of your tricks, that's all.
All right, then, all right. Try touching the cable.
Ah, I'll call his bluff. Archie, hand me that pitchfork. I'll show you. There we are.
Oh, ow, oh, ow, oh, oh, it's alive. Oh, I got a shot. Oh, oh. Well, there's one thing about old Bruff. He's a real live wire.
Those concerned in this latest attempt at educating Archie were Peter Brough, Ken Platt, Dick Embry, Hilda Braid, Derek Giler, and Peter Hawkins. The show was aided and abetted musically by Ronald Chesney and the BBC Review Orchestra, conducted by Harry Rabinovich.